The KRTU webcast is brought to you by KRTU members like you. Become a member today by checking out the membership page on our website at krtu.org.
Welcome to the South Texas Jazz Project, an initiative of 91.7 FM KRTU, San Antonio. The South Texas Jazz Project explores the roots as well as current South Texas jazz scene with in-depth features, interviews, storytelling, and music from regional recording artists past and present. Tonight on the South Texas Jazz Project, we'll hear music from San Antonio-based bassist and composer Joel Dilley and his latest release on Dragon Lady Records. Dilley performs on all instruments, keyboards, drums, percussion, acoustic and electric guitars and bass guitars, accordion, and Celtic harp. Wall in the Desert is a dramatic extended play soundtrack telling the story of asylum seekers through music, with proceeds from digital sales and streaming going directly to the Interfaith Welcome Coalition, a faith-based collaborative movement meeting the changing needs of refugees and immigrants at risk. We'll also hear from Wall in the Desert executive producer Bette Butler and co-chair Mary Grace Kettner of the IWC on the evolving story of asylum seekers in San Antonio and how the organization and the music project working together can benefit our local community. Joel Dilley has an eclectic career as a bassist and composer with 5 critically acclaimed albums and a history of creating music that speaks to faith, hope, and change in a new world. Executive producer and musician Bette Butler and Dilley have both a personal and professional relationship in music. They both found a need for drawing attention to the situation of constructing barriers and walls to keep refugees out of the United States.
It really began several years ago when we were seeing footage of Syrian refugees fleeing into Turkey and Lebanon, and several countries were erecting barriers, you know, walls, big fences to keep refugees out. And then it was amplified here in our own country. We were hearing the dehumanizing language used to describe asylum seekers and the fear-mongering and the scapegoating. And then a big barrier just a few hundred miles away unfolding in front of our eyes. So it's really, it's an old, old story. People displaced by war and poverty and famine and religious or ethnic persecution. I mean, think about the Jews fleeing Russian pogroms and the Holocaust and the Romani people and the great Irish potato famine. There's a famous poem by British Somali poet Warson Shire that begins, "No one leaves home unless home is the mouth of a shark." Watching all these things happening was heartbreaking, and the way Joel responds to overwhelming emotion is to write music.
You know, the public's perception, I think, is that these are situations that were all new. For instance, the Syrian situation and refugees from other parts of the world, Central America, or even from Mexico. You think about how that ties into our situation here, and so...
Right now, there are over 25 million refugees worldwide, and that's the highest number ever recorded. And half of those are children. And one-third of all refugees are hosted by the world's poorest countries. So we're the richest nation in the world. We have to ask ourselves, what's our responsibility in the world?
The universal language of music being one of those, I think, one of those things that can connect all of us.
It's so true. Joel has worked with, just in the last few years, he recorded a lot of music with Indian musicians from India and Pakistan. We collaborated with on a video, a music video with a Syrian poet who lives here. We're all so connected, and music is one of the things that connects us.
Each time a man stands up for an ideal, or acts to improve the lot of others, or strikes out against injustice, he sends forth a tiny ripple of hope, and crossing each other from a million different centers of energy and daring, those ripples build a current which can sweep down the mightiest walls of oppression and resistance.
Not like the brazen giant of Greek fame, with conquering limbs astride from land to land. Here, at our sea-washed sunset gates, shall stand a mighty woman, with a torch whose flame is the imprisoned lightning. Mother of Exiles. From her beacon hand glows worldwide welcome. Her mild eyes command the air-bridged harbor that Twin Cities frame. Keep ancient lands your storied pomp, cries she with silent lips. Give me your tired, your poor, your huddled masses yearning to breathe free. The wretched refuse of your teeming shore. Send these, the homeless, tempest-tossed to me. I lift my lamp beside the golden door.
Wall in the Desert from Joelle Dilley's soundtrack EP of the same name, released on Dragon Lady Records and to help to meet the changing needs of asylum seekers in South Texas. Dilley is featured on all instruments throughout the recording, with vocals from Bette Butler, including the Robert F. Kennedy speech excerpt heard there on the title track. Bassist Dilley relies heavily on improvisation and creating music to match his surroundings while drawing from many of his own unique experiences as a performing musician. Executive producer Bette Butler.
He usually creates a musical environment, and then he improvises over that. And then out of the improvisation, he constructs the piece. So I don't think he really set out to make it sound a particular way. It's just he's always been influenced by what's around him. And I think when he started this album, he had just finished recording with some musicians from India that made its way into the music. He listens to a lot of different music, just different genres, music from all parts of the world, and it all manages to find its way into his own compositions. He asked me to improvise over that first track, and then I was actually researching speech writing for a different project and came across Robert F. Kennedy's speech. So I suggested that we include that little excerpt from that, and he was all for that. So that's how that part of it came about. Joelle is one of those people who can pick up an instrument and in just a little bit of time make music out of it. I've never been around anybody quite like that. I mean, he can pick up a water jug, and before you know it, he's getting different tones out of it. If you talk to him, he would totally deny being a multi-instrumentalist. He's real. Bass is his main instrument, and that's the instrument he practices on all the time. But these other things, he was able to just sort of pick up and get music out of. We're not the only ones with the wall. I look online, you'll see images of great walls and fences being erected in a lot of these places, like in Turkey and Lebanon, where refugees from Syria were coming. So it's not just a concept from this current administration. I mean, there are people building walls all over. I mean, look at the Great Wall of China. It was originally to keep people out. We would love to see people talking more of building bridges rather than walls. Joelle has told me before that he's always wanted to write music that makes people think and ruminate and contemplate. So if this music can get people to thinking about what it means to be a compassionate human being, it would be great.
Thank you.
Border Drifter from Joel Dilley's Wall in the Desert on KRTU and the South Texas Jazz Project. Proceeds from digital sales and streaming of the EP go to San Antonio's Interfaith Welcome Coalition. We'll speak with co-chair Mary Grace Kettner of the organization, but first executive producer Bette Butler on how they first heard of the coalition and then developed an artistic response to the need for assistance to refugees in San Antonio.
Well, we first became aware of them when San Antonio was getting the huge influx of asylum seekers dropped off at the bus station, and volunteers from that organization were providing real-time help, like meals and backpacks with supplies and diapers for the babies and showers and a place to stay overnight. They were just really providing necessities for people to maintain human dignity. So we knew several people who were working with the organization, and Joel decided that the best use of this music would be to draw attention to them and to support that work. And it's been a real education because we hear the stories told by traumatized families to the nuns and the pastors who work in overcrowded shelters in Nuevo Laredo. And almost everyone has had a relative who's been murdered, or their children have been threatened with torture if they refuse to work for gangs. And then we're traumatizing these families further, forcing them to remain in areas where they're threatened with kidnapping and extortion by the cartels. So it's been a real education to get more involved with that organization. They're doing great work, and it's an all-volunteer organization. They really support humanity.
Where can people find out about more about this recording, and where can they get it?
They can go to wallinthedesert.com. It's also available through bandcamp.com. Since we're in a situation where a lot of folks may be financially stressed right now due to the pandemic, we're also making it available free on Bandcamp to download. If folks don't have the money to donate right now, they can just download it free, because we'd rather them have the music, whatever their situation is. And then maybe later on, if they've recovered financially, they could think about donating directly to the Interfaith Welcome Coalition. And their website is interfaithwelcomecoalition.org. Folks can donate there. Or they can just, you know, listen to it on Spotify and Apple Music, and they can download it from Apple Music, Pandora, anywhere they access these tracks. All the money that we get from it is going to go to the Interfaith Welcome Coalition. And maybe we're all getting a little more experience with knowing what it's like to feel traumatized and afraid. I mean, most of us are lucky that we have a home to shelter in. Maybe this music will cause folks to think about what it must be like to not have a home to shelter in and to still be threatened by danger that's visible or invisible.
Mary Grace Kettner is the co-chair of the Interfaith Welcome Coalition. The group has been working locally on the front lines of assisting asylum seekers and refugees.
We started in 2014. It was an idea of Reverend Kelly Allen, who was at that time minister at University Presbyterian Church, and she is since deceased, but she left this wonderful legacy. Our original plan was to help migrants in any way that we could figure out how to do. And what eventually began working for us and continued to work for several years and grew for several years was to meet families at the airport. These are families who are being released from detention in Karnes City, in the detention center in Karnes City or Dilley. They are asylum seekers who were held for usually a few weeks and then released to go to see their families in various parts of the United States, all over the United States. So what we found at the bus station is that they were going to be taking a several days trip, and usually with no money or very little money. And so we began making backpacks, not making them, purchasing backpacks in bulk and filling them with things that would help them on their trip, things like a toothbrush and toothpaste and diapers. We had teddy bears for children. We had coloring books and crayons, diapers if they needed it, and snacks, originally granola bars and crackers and things like that. And later, we began adding lunches that were made by various churches around towns. And a group would have one day of the month that they would make, say, 50 double lunches and take them to the bus station, and we could distribute them. At the airport, we still gave them a backpack, and we gave them a few snacks, but of course their trip from the airport was only a few hours. So they would come in and immediately start opening up the bags that the detention centers give them, which are like grocery bags, polypropylene grocery bags, and put them into the backpack instead. And that was kind of what we're known for, is the backpacks. We also help them get their tickets, especially at the airport where they have to wander all over this huge building. And many of them are unsophisticated in travel, especially in a big place like an airport. So we would help them get their boarding passes. Their families buy the tickets, and so we have their number and help them get their boarding passes and take them through security with a guest pass like a person might get to take a child through security, and take them to their gate, and as best we can, explain what to do at their layover, because you know everything that leaves San Antonio goes through Dallas or Houston, so they're going to have at least one change. There were some places that many of them flew to, wherever their relatives were, essentially. But there are some areas that seem to have a number of families already working, places that have large labor needs, unskilled labor needs. Not that they're all unskilled, but they might not be skilled in something they could get a job in. So they would go. There was a number who went to North Carolina, Miami, Los Angeles, upstate New York. But we even have people come through who might have been teachers, but they can't get a job teaching here. And they're going to visit family. And so many of them end up in a place like where they have chicken processing plants and that kind of thing. You know, they are going to visit families who are not, by and large, earning a great deal themselves, and they won't be able to work right away. We decided our goal would be to help them get there. We can't follow through with everyone all their lives. Last summer, when there was the surge of migrants between the end of March and September, we had hundreds a day. The city opened up the Migrant Resource Center, and Travis Park opened up its facilities to shelter people at night if they couldn't get a bus ticket right away, which began to happen because there were so many of them, the buses would fill up. Then suddenly it stopped when the migrant protection protocol came into place, and people were forced to remain in Mexico. Initially, they were from the northern triangle of Central America, Guatemala, Honduras, and El Salvador. And last summer, and continuing until now, we began having lots and lots of people from the Central African countries, from Haiti. We had Portuguese-speaking and French-speaking people through Brazil or from Brazil, people coming from Venezuela, any place that there's turmoil in the world. One way to get to the United States is to go through Mexico. Most of our frontline volunteers, we have volunteers at the airport and the bus station most of the day, and at the bus station in the evening, too. We had volunteers at the airport in the evening during the surge, and we're now just on call because of the danger to our own volunteers. But if somebody is really having trouble and needs special help, the bus station or the airport will call us and we'll send a volunteer.
Beyond providing the physical necessities for immigrants at risk, Kettner and volunteers at the IWC also take individual and personal reasons into consideration from each person who has crossed the border.
Perhaps a member of their family has been killed by the cartels, and they have been threatened, believably, and that's part of their asylum process, is to pass a credible fears test showing that they truly did have something to be afraid of, something that convinced them that they or their children would be hurt or killed if they remained where they were. Most of them left in the middle of the night with not much stuff.
The assistance with traveling, did you receive any sort of resistance from local law enforcement or local authorities?
No, we didn't. As a matter of fact, we received all kinds of encouragement, and you may know that when all of that happened, the city itself opened up a migrant resource center, and the city began to help us. And I don't mean that they're just helping us, but we were an established group that was already there doing things, but it helped the city too, because we were able to get people. I mean, we didn't have a place, much of a place really, for people to stay safely or even decently. We could help people get on through San Antonio onto their destinations more quickly. And the city staff even volunteered. They were permitted to volunteer while at work. They were permitted to choose to volunteer at the Migrant Resource Center on days when they could leave their work for a little while. And they helped people get their tickets. Catholic Charities found money to help pay for tickets and that sort of thing. And it was a big, confusing rumble of a time, but it went through smoothly. You can just imagine what might happen if, I'm going to say 600, we never had that many spending the night with us, but we would have a number that could go through, could get on the bus right away and go through, and we would have others that might have to wait several days, get in touch with their family to get money for a ticket or something like that, in order to be able to get on to the next step of their journey. And if we had not had the help and support of the city, I'm not sure what we or anyone would have done. We'd have had people on the streets with no place to go and no place to stay, no way to get tickets. It was truly amazing. It's very gratifying to be able to help someone. You know, it's not just like lending a cup of flour to your neighbor or something like that. It's, you're actually saving someone's life. You're actually giving them a smile when they've had some terrible things happen to them, both in their homelands and sometimes even here along the border and in the detention center. We have some very generous donors. We just became a 501c3 in January of this year. Not being one limited our ability to apply for some kinds of grants, but many of the national denominations of churches had grants that you don't have to be a 501c3 to get. And we had support from all sorts of Christian churches, Jewish groups, Muslim groups. We just really felt the support very strongly of people who believe in helping the stranger, welcoming the stranger. Welcome is our middle name, we say.
From Wall in the Desert, Joel Dilley on all instruments with a piece titled Home on KRTU and the South Texas Jazz Project.
Thank you. Thank you.
a musical landscape created by composer and multi-instrumentalist Joel Dilley, available on the new soundtrack EP, Wall in the Desert, with proceeds benefiting the Interfaith Welcome Coalition, the local movement helping to meet the needs for asylum seekers and refugees at risk in South Texas. Co-chair Mary Grace Kettner adds that recent developments across the world with the novel coronavirus compounds their concerns.
That is kind of the big concern now among groups that are working with refugees is, and people in the detention center, there's a lot of concern because they are locked up together. And we have, you know, staff going in and out, too. We're concerned about the tent camps in Matamoros in particular, and the shelters on the Mexican side where help is not easily available. Not that it is here, but it's even more difficult there. And it is a big issue right now. For example, in Laredo, they've been chosen as the first area in Texas to receive the wall, and the people in Laredo are not real happy about that. So we are sort of the southernmost transportation hub in Texas, and so no matter where they come in Texas, maybe not El Paso so much, but you know, anywhere along the lower Rio Grande Valley up to Eagle Pass, they're gonna have to come through San Antonio. So that's why it was a logical thing for us to do to begin serving people at the bus station and airport here.
More information on the organization helping to assist refugees in San Antonio at interfaithwelcomecoalition.org, and more on the music project at mandalamusic.com and joeldilley.com.
Any values kind of issue that's accompanied by art just makes it so much stronger.
For KRTU and the South Texas Jazz Project, I'm Corey Cook.
You have been tuned into the South Texas Jazz Project on member-supported KRTU 91.7 FM. You can catch the South Texas Jazz Project every Thursday at 7 p.m. and Saturdays at 5 p.m. right here at your home for jazz in San Antonio, 91.7 FM, KRTU.
We would like to thank our supporters who have donated to KRTU and renewed their memberships during this time of uncertainty. Listeners like you truly make it possible for us to broadcast the music you love. Though we have suspended our on-air drive, you've shown us that there is unity in our community of independent listeners. Thank you for making us a part of your life.